He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
Welcome to the Friday morning. It is the March 28th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Well, you know what? It looks like we have a little bit of a good way to end the week. Hopefully it will last. We still have several hours until the close of the market, but we're out of the gate. Woo! Big time this morning. And, you know, I've been saying there's just some pain in the market from time to time. There's no way to get around all of the pain in the market. There's lots of ways to mitigate it. And I've also been saying I would not go to cash 100% right now. Makes no sense at all. I've also said I have not put in any inverse hedges yet at all. Today, the Dow up 143 points. The Dow is at 16,407. You see, if you went to all cash yesterday, you'd be kicking yourself today. I hope you're not kicking yourself because it hurts. S&P 500 up 15 points today. The S&P is at 1,864. The NASDAQ, where the most pain has been felt, without question. The NASDAQ is up 40, however, today. So a little bit of relief. A little bit of salve on the wounds of NASDAQ investors right now. The NASDAQ is at 4,196. Gold investors can't catch a break. Gold down 0.5% today. Gold at 1,288. Gold made a little rally. Might have sucked some people in. I warned you, don't get in there to suckers rally. Crude oil, I show 102 today. Putin celebrating. Move more troops to that border. The 10-year yield is 2.70%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we have had quite the run here in the market, quite the volatility run, that is. There's been several factors leading to this volatility. Number one, we had a great year last year. We had an out-of-the-normal range with the 29% return in the market. Mathematics have a tendency to snap back towards the mean performance over the long haul. It happened in the housing market in the year 2006, 2007, 2008. 20% returns on single family homes over a couple of years were not sustainable. And when mortgage brokers were starting to buy Mercedes-Benz and Porsches and whatnot, you got to believe that that's the top of the housing market. And now the housing market has snapped back more towards the long-term mean, which is about 5 or 6% per year. We had outsized performances in the S&P 500 in the late 90s. We had a run there where the S&P was averaging 30% per year. That's way outside of the mean, mathematically. And, of course, we had a big, big comeuppance in the year 2000 as the market snapped back towards the mean and then some, because that mean takes a long time to get back to sometimes. It all averages out over time. And we also had an unabated 15-month run here recently in the market in a very narrow area of the market, which I exploited for all it was worth in 2013. It was all about U.S. stocks. I had no bond exposure. I had no emerging markets exposure. I had no precious metals exposure. It was all about small and mid-cap stocks. I was definitely heavily tilted towards small and mid-cap stocks, away from those large and mega caps, which lagged the market last year. In addition to this, the leadership in the market was also very narrow in the year 2013. The leadership in the market was basically centered around three or four sectors of the market. Other sectors participated in the rise in the market last year, but the ones that really went beyond the mean and beyond their normal performance With number one, without question, the biotech sector. Number two, the pharmaceutical sector, a very close kissing cousin there. Number three was the internet sector. Number four, the healthcare sector. Those are the four horsemen that led the market in 2013. And that's where you had to be. You had to be focused in those areas of the market. And I was heavily focused in those areas of the market. In my aggressive growth portfolios, I was heavily focused there. In my conservative growth portfolios, I was heavily focused there. In my income portfolio, even my income portfolio was up 21% last year while the bond market took on water. That was a pretty good move. I was in the right place at the right time. And in my mutual fund model portfolio, I was heavily focused there. That thing was up about 30% last year. And your 401k should have been up about 30% last year. But I've been warning you for several months now that eventually the market will rotate. And at some point in time, the five-year-old bull market will come to an end. The five-year-old bull market has not come to an end yet. It still looks healthy. Not as vibrant and frisky as it was last year, but it still looks healthy, as I'll show in my next newsletter, because every week I show you that five-year chart of the S&P 500, and that's all I ask you to do is to tell me, is it in an uptrend, a sideways trend, or a downtrend? Just squint your eyes and look at it. What's the primary trend? If it's up, then it's bull, and it's still bull. However, along the way of this five-year bull market, there's been several sector and asset class rotations along the way. And I've been warning that at some point in time, the sectors will rotate, the asset classes will rotate. Sometimes it's a very orderly rotation. And sometimes it can be a swift kick in the rear end type of rotation. But you know that on January 3rd of this year, I put up a yellow flag. I said 2014 is going to be very, very challenging. We're not going to repeat or come anywhere close to what we did in 2013. It's going to be a downright struggle in 2014. Has it been a struggle so far? You better believe it. We've been down 7, 8, 9, 10%. We've been back to even. Now we're going back down. It's been a wild ride so far. I started raising a lot of cash in January, early January. I got as high as 60% cash. Then things seemed to blow over a little bit. The Ukrainian situation settled down. The emerging market started to emerge again. And I started putting money to work again. But in other areas of the market, I've been backing away from these leading sectors of the market for quite some time. Not 100%, however, because many of them were still holding up quite well. I got my investment level back up to about 75%, still 25% on the sidelines in cash. And I continue to warn that the market's going to rotate at some point in time. And I kept the yellow flag up since day one of this year. And I still have the yellow flag up as of now. We'll see what I do with this weekend's newsletter. But with troops still massing on the border of the Ukraine and Ms. Yellen blurting out 6 months in her latest press conference, the market's a little bit on edge right now, and it should be on edge. And there's a lot of people with big profits sitting out there. So now what's happening? The market is rotating. Is the five-year bull over? No. In fact, I said on Wednesday, do not go to 100% cash. That's the wrong thing to do. You can do whatever you want to do. But my advice is to go to cash is what amateurs do. Secondly, I don't believe it's time to hedge or put in shorts on the market yet either. We haven't reached that point. The bull's still intact. You're still swimming against the tide. But you have to rotate with the market. The market is going away from the small, high PE stocks to larger, low PE stocks. We're going from growth to value. You know what? I love value investing. I love small cap value. I love mid cap value. I love large cap value. And when you see my model portfolios, you'll see how I've been rotating with the market. If you stick to your guns and say, you know what, I'm going to stick to my high PE stuff. It's been working so far for the last 18 months, 15 months. No, the market is rotating. If you don't rotate with it, you'll get rotated by it right out the back door. Where is it rotating to? Well, I'm going to give you some examples when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we're going through some market rotation right now. We're going from the high flyers that led the market last year. Remember, I always keep an eye on valuation. Always. It's half of my equation. But definitely there was a tilt last year between, if I were to put value over here and put performance over here, there definitely was a tilt to the performance side last year. No question about it. But my app takes that all into account, weighs it all out, and produces the leading stocks, the best stocks in the market at any given point in time. This year, that equation is starting to shift. That balance, that scale is starting to tip towards value, away from performance and away from momentum. You know, I can remember, I'm thinking about 2005, 2006, the only area of the market that was working was small cap value. Low PE, small cap stocks. That was where the action is. And man, I'm telling you what, the market sat there for a couple of years. And all the large cap growth guys and the mid cap growth guys were crying the blues. It was all in mid small cap value. That's why it's so important to know at any given time where the leading asset classes are in the market. And over the last couple years, the market has favored growth stocks. A little tilt towards higher PE, higher growth, pay up a little bit to get it. And now the pendulum is swinging back to value. I love value investing. I really do. But a lot of value stocks have been left behind in the momentum world that we've seen for the last 15 months. And now the pendulum is swinging back to stocks that are lower PE. Steady growers. If I were to put a basic PE range that the market's looking at right now, kind of drawing the line at 20, looking at 20 and below as more favorable stocks right now than the 68s and the 85s and the 122 type PE ratios. Let me give you an example. In fact, if you're sitting at home in front of a stock chart, or a way to look up stock charts, type in TSM. And what you'll get, when I type it in here, is a company by the name of Taiwan Semiconductor. I don't think they're headquartered in the United States. I don't think they're headquartered in Singapore. They're headquartered in Taiwan. It's a $102 billion company. By contrast, Intel is 126. So here's a company. By the way, Intel's on the move right now, too, with a PE ratio of 13. Okay? But we're talking about Taiwan Semiconductor right now, a company about the size of Intel. They make logic mixed signal ICs for fabless semiconductor companies and integrated device manufacturers. They make chips. Not the Granny Goose type, not Lay's, not Scudder's. They make chips that go inside of devices. Semiconductors. Here's the particulars on TSM. You know what I like here at Gunderson Capital Management. You know that I like performance, but I also like value. And this is a market that's tipping towards value right now. Taiwan Semiconductor is a stock that I bought earlier in the week for my income and growth accounts. It qualifies in my book as an income account, or as an income stock, because it pays a dividend yield of 2%. Now let's take a look at the performance of the stock. Over the last 10 years, the stock has delivered to investors, between the dividend and capital appreciation, 13.5% per year. That's better than Buffett. And that's better than the market. The market's delivered 5.3%. And by the way, in the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking to a well-known money manager and newsletter writer who made a $25,000 bet that Buffett will be outperformed by the small cap index over the next 10 years. So I'm looking forward to this interview with Nick Vardy. Back to Taiwan Semiconductor. Over the last 5 years, Taiwan Semiconductor has delivered to its investors 21% per year. Over the last 3 years, it's delivered 21% per year. Kind of steady as she goes, isn't it? Well, Taiwan Semiconductor has been delivering 20% per year to its investors over the last 3 years. The market's been delivering 12.1%. Now, here's the catch. Over the last 12 months, Taiwan Semi has underperformed the market by a little bit. Why? Because it's a low PE stock, and the market was favoring high PE, high growth. Now the market's had its coming to God moment with PE ratios. It's repenting of its sins, and it's saying, you know what? We need to pay more attention to value this year, because this is not an economy that's growing at 5 or 6%. This is an economy that's growing at 2 to 3%. The other comeuppance that the market's had, the other coming to God moment that the market's had with value and performance and momentum, is that the Fed is no longer behind us. Multiples contract, and they are contracting. They've contracted quite abruptly and rapidly over the last several weeks, and they're moving towards lower PE stocks that have been left behind over the last 12 months by their higher PE counterparts. The red Ferraris are starting to come back to the pack, and the Buicks in the right-hand lane are starting to catch up. Let's look at the valuation of Taiwan Semiconductor. By the way, the performance of Taiwan Semiconductor is a B+ over the years. Not too bad. It's outperformed the market over the last 3 years, over the last 5 years, over the last 10 years, and it's starting to outperform the market again. From a valuation point of view, the stock is trading at 12 times forward earnings. It's expected to grow by 15% per year. I like companies that are trading at a discount to their growth rate. Taiwan is trading at a PEG ratio of 0.8, less than 1. I have a $34 target price on Taiwan. It's currently trading at 19, almost 20. How do I get to that $34 target price? That's 5 years from now. So all I do is I take that analyst projected 5-year growth rate of 15%. I apply it to those earnings estimates of $1.61. I put a multiple on it that I think is appropriate 5 years from now. And I think the stock has 86% upside potential over the next 5 years. Lastly, when you get a chance, here's your homework assignment for the day. Pull up a chart of TSM. Pull up a chart and you'll see a fresh breakout today on a stock that I bought earlier this week. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back talking to Nick Vardy about his Berkshire Hathaway bet. Stay tuned. I said the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter. and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here so far, talked about why the market has had the volatile start that it has in 2014. It was a great year last year. It was way outside the normal ranges. It was a market last year that was all about small cap U.S. stocks, and in particular, biotech, healthcare, internet. Technology stocks were the ones that led the way in 2013. And I've been warning you that it will eventually come to an end. But the five-year bull market is still intact that began in March of 2009. Small caps led the way last year. Market is rotating right now. Market is rotating away from growth a little bit with a tilt towards value, lower PE stocks. Now, recently, I read a really interesting piece on MarketWatch That's Dow Jones Market Watch, where I am a contributor. And I read a piece by Nick Vardy, who is the editor of the Global Guru Weekly newsletter. Nick has a lot of followers around the world with his newsletter that he writes. He's also the chief investment officer of Global Guru Capital. See, for a change, we're going to have a guru on the show, okay? You guys are used to just me, an old flunky. We're going to have a guru that we're going to talk to. He made a very interesting bet recently, and I want to get his take on it. Nick, welcome to the show. You're calling from London today, right?
Yes, I am. It's a rare sunny day in London. It's not that rare to have sunny days in San Diego, but here they are rare, and we're having a great day here.
I'm watching about a 45-foot cabin cruiser headed out to the fishing grounds right now in the San Diego Harbor. I wish I was on that boat right now, but instead, we're going to talk a little bit about Warren Buffett and small-cap stocks. I'm a big believer in small-caps, Nick.
Yeah.
And I've also said that, you know, Buffett has gotten too big. Is this, what's your opinion?
You know, I think he's gotten too big as well. And I think, you know, what's interesting about this bet is that, you know, he's admitted himself. He's talked about the fact that he's gotten too big. And, you know, a couple weeks after my article came out, interestingly enough, he said in the Berkshire annual meeting that he was going to suggest that the trustees invest the money of his heirs into an S&P 500 index rather than Berkshire itself. So it seems that Buffett himself is skeptical about the ability of Berkshire to outperform even the S&P 500 over the long term. And, you know, it's basically the story of the bet was that I wrote this piece about a month ago called Has Warren Buffett Lost It? And I just kind of simply pointed out that, you know, he's really had a tough time matching the S&P 500 over the last 3 to 5 to 10 years. And, you know, as you know, as a big small cap investor yourself, small caps over the long term tend to outperform the S&P 500 because they tend to have more growth. You know, it's higher volatility, but it's outweighed by the higher growth. So I thought, you know, if Buffett is telling his heirs to put their money in the S&P 500 fund, he certainly wouldn't take a bet that that Berkshire would outperform a U.S. small cap fund. Well, a guy in St. Louis named David Rolfe, who's a big Buffett investor himself, he took me up on this bet, and we communicated a little bit, and we decided to put $25,000 on the line. This is a long-term bet. You know, it's not about sort of sector rotations or what's hot this week or next week or next month or whatever, but I'm convinced that over a 10-year period, the U.S. small cap index, as measured by the Russell 2000, is going to be able to outperform the Berkshire Hathaway, you know, as it has for the last 5, 10, 15 years.
I totally agree with you. You know, when I was first getting in the business, Peter Lynch was the hot hand in the market with this Fidelity Magellan Fund. And he became a victim of his own success as Magellan grew and grew and grew and grew. He could no longer buy the small growth, exciting companies that he was well known for. And pretty soon Magellan became a proxy for the S&P 500. In fact, they've had a hard time over the years to even keep up with the S&P 500. And if you look at Buffett's recent buys, you know, over the last couple of years, look, it's Walmart. Yeah. You know, it's giant, what was it, Exxon Mobil. It's giant companies. Yeah, and all things being equal, a faster growing company is going to outperform a 5 or 6% grower over time.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is, I mean, he's really riding on his reputation. I mean, look, obviously he's, you know, has a reputation for being the world's best investor, but to give an idea of how things have changed, up until the year 2000, Berkshire Hathaway had a 30% annual return since back when it started in the mid-60s. So 30% return from 1965 to the year 2000. Now, since the year 2000, he's barely matched the S&P 500. So there's been like a massive drop-off in his performance. If he would have continued performing, making 30% a year over the last 15 years, Berkshire Hathaway will be trading not at B shares, will be trading not at around $123, $124, but would be trading around $1,430.
Wow.
And Berkshire's market cap would be the size of China's foreign currency reserves, approximately about $3.5 trillion. That's clearly not the case, and it just shows you how much his performance has slowed down, you know, just since the dot-com bust.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. You know, if I could add 25,000 to that bet, see if your buddy will double down and I'll put in the other 25 because I think you've got a sure winner. Okay, you're a global guru. You're over there in Europe. What do you see in the market right now?
In the European markets or
no, I'm talking about anywhere in the world right now. US markets, where would you be investing? What do you think of the volatility we're having in the US markets right now?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, as you suggested, you know, a lot of the volatility in the U.S. markets has really been in sectors that have been doing extremely well, biotechnology, technology stocks. You know, you've seen huge sell-offs in the biotech sector, which I'm invested in, you know, personally and in my newsletters as well. And so that's been a big area of volatility. But in terms of some opportunities that people might not look at, which I'm invested and recommend for my newsletter subscribers, you know, oddly enough, European banks. Now, you'd think that would be a sector that is not an area you'd kind of touch with a 10-foot pole. But I'll tell you what, I recommended, and you can pull the chart up on this, I recommended Bank of Ireland about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Symbol IIRE, and have been banging the drum about that for a long, long time. And that thing's gone from probably low of about, probably around $4, $4.5 to roughly about 18.5. It's been as high as 20. And the kind of rebound in the European banking sector, even if you're, so that's Ireland, that's sort of like, you know, the whole Irish turnaround story.
Yep.
But even if you're looking at like more mainstream ones, like a relatively conservative bank, like a Dutch bank, like ING, you know, you're getting a lot of, you know, a lot of the balance sheets are being cleaned up. It's the same kind of story that was present in the U.S. markets for large U.S. financial institutions, you know, for JPM or, you know, JP Morgan, Citi, et cetera, except Europe is a couple years behind. And it's a really interesting kind of sectoral play, you know, in this neck of the woods. And it's certainly been a very profitable one. And it's something I don't think a lot of people in the U.S. are focusing on because they got other fish to fry.
Well, interestingly enough, Nick, you know, I track 60 sectors on a daily basis. And for the last 15 months, it's been the high PE, it's been the biotechs, it's been the pharmaceuticals. Right now, the at or near the top is the regional banking sector here in the United States. You got companies like Wells Fargo that are breaking out and hitting new highs right now. Don't you think that they will also benefit from a rising interest rate environment going forward? Doesn't that give them a little bit more wiggle room to squeeze more profits out of their income statements?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, the famous 30-year bull market in bonds is now, you know, going on to over 30 years, 31 years, 32 years. And, you know, once interest rates do start to increase, and, you know, there's already hints of that both in the U.S. and the U.K. and for the, you know, the Eurozone, it's going to be, you know, as lawyers say, a material change in circumstances. It's going to change the rules of the game.
Yep.
And it's going to be, it's going to, you know, banks are going to be in much better shape to be making money. And once you've kind of, you know, dealt with some of the regulatory risk or the perceived regulatory risk, you know, you've got some big upside in these, you know, in these financials. And I think that's an area that, you know, that's doing well. And just let me add this, you know, you track 60 different sectors in the U.S. and see how, you know, those are operating against each other and how they're performing. I track 45 different global markets every single day.
Yep.
And it's interesting to see which markets in the world are doing the best. And, you know, there's always these kind of quirky little things, like Egypt is actually the best performing market in the world this year. But what's interesting is a lot of the former PIG countries, the Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, those markets, those stock markets are, you know, every single one of those stock markets is in the top 10 or 12, you know, globally this year so far. And a lot of those are driven by the kind of rebound in the banking sectors.
Nick, can you hang on? We're going to do a quick break. I want to talk to you a little bit more about your newsletter when we come back. A little bit more, too, about these frontier markets that you're talking about, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak.
That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we're talking with Nick Bardi, the editor of the Global Guru Weekly Newsletter, and he's the Chief Investment Officer of the Global Guru Capital. Nick, before we get back to this emerging market theme and frontier markets, you write a weekly newsletter like myself, correct?
Yeah, I do. I write a I've got a couple different things. I've got the Global Guru, which is a free weekly e-letter, which actually goes out to about 170,000 people. And then I've got a couple of paid services, various trading services, and I've got a monthly called the Alpha Investor Letter, which is kind of a big picture, more of a long-term type of investment approach. So I've got trading services, investment services, Global Guru, kind of big picture stuff. So I've do a lot of research, a lot of thinking about a lot of different parts of the world, and bring that to my subscribers.
How would my listeners then get in on at least your free letter that you send out?
If they go to nicholasvardi.com, it's N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S Vardi.com. There's a little box there where they can sign up for the Global Guru, and they'll get my free e-letter every Tuesday.
Okay, perfect. Now, Nick, a couple of things here. You know, I rank international markets too on my app every week. I just want to point out a couple of things, see what you think of this. Italy, EWI, breaking out to a new high today.
I own it, yes.
Okay. EWP, what is that? Spain, yes. Breaking out to a new high today.
Yes.
Greece, GREK, breaking out to a new high today.
Oh, and that one also.
Beautiful. Okay, so we are like-minded, my friend. Now, let me ask you another question. FM. FM is an index that was developed, which is a pre-emerging market index. It's called the Frontier 100. And when you talk about Egypt and things like this, it's pretty hard for the average guy to invest in some of these frontier markets. That thing is hitting a new all-time high today.
Yeah, you know, it's part of my, at Global Group Capital, it's part of my Global Gains program. And so I actually own that on behalf of my clients as well. And as you see, it's probably up about 6 or 7% this year. And it's something that I own for my, on behalf of my clients. And it's actually kind of a similar play for reasons that probably aren't obvious. There's a Gulf Cooperation Council ETF, ticker symbol MES, which is also doing very well.
What was that ticker again?
MES.
Okay, I'm going to look at that one too. MES.
And part of the reason that that FM, the MSCI 100 Frontier Markets ETF, is doing so well is because it's got a huge weighting in one of those booming areas of the world. We actually spent a couple weeks last year, and that's the Gulf Cooperation Council. I spent some time in Dubai. I was there for a CFA conference last year and traveled around. And that part of the world is absolutely booming, as are the stock markets there. And the top five holdings in FM are all basically UAE, United Arab Emirates, which is Dubai, and other markets around there, Oman, Kuwait, financials. And those markets are really going through the roof. There's a big rebound in the real estate markets there. I think the second biggest holding in FM is MR Properties, which is a which just had a more mainstream listing recently. They're the ones who actually own the Burj Dubai, the world's tallest building, which you may have seen on television. And that part of the world is just it's just really exploding. And if you look at any of the stock market exposure, which you as a U.S. investor can get either through MES or through FM, you're really seeing the evidence of that in terms of the stock markets.
Absolutely. And, I just got, last week I met the director of research for Morningstar, And he had just returned from Dubai, and we had a great conversation. There's a radio station over there called Dubai Eye, and I'm looking into getting this show heard in Dubai. So, yeah, these frontier markets, very interesting. Pre-emerging markets. Okay, one last question. You're over there in London. You're closer to Russia than we are, although right. Sarah Palin can see it from her home in Alaska. What do you think? Is Putin going to go into Ukraine, or do you think he's going to stop with the Crimean acquisition?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty tough. I mean, the guy is extremely aggressive. You know, oddly enough, I mean, I have this weird international lifestyle. I'm actually going to Estonia next week, which is also kind of on the border, on the Russian border. It used to be part of the Soviet Union. It's now part of the Eurozone, part of the EU. And so I'm going to be there meeting with some people who are incredibly afraid, because just like, you know, Russia could go into Ukraine, they could go into the Baltic states as well. And so a lot of these folks are actually quite afraid of it. Now, what's Putin going to do? I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Mr. Obama, who I don't know if you know this, but this is kind of a random, I feel like Zelig when I say this, but I was classmates with him at Harvard Law School. He's just not that interested in foreign policy, and he's obviously not into saber rattling and not sort of putting his foot down. And I think if you've ever dealt with Russians as on a business level, I mean, they're just ruthless, and they play by a different set of rules.
Yep.
And I think you know, a couple years ago I wrote a piece which I may kind of republish, which was a little bit it was my view on it, and I called it the high price of American naivete. Because a lot of things that kind of Americans expect other people to play by the rules, and the rest of the world doesn't play by those rules.
That's right.
And I think there's a high price to be paid for that. And I think you know, the Obama administration is a perfect example of that, because, you know, these guys just lied to their teeth. I mean, 2 weeks before, you know, Russia came into Crimea, Putin said, "We're not going to invade Crimea." You know, of course they did 2 weeks later. Today, the Russian defense minister comes out and says, "We're not going to invade Ukraine." You know, I mean, you're not going to, you know, why would you ever believe him? But, you know, as an American, you have a tendency to sort of take things at face value, and that's not the game that the Russians are playing. So I think it's a tough situation.
Well, Nick, you know what? I like you. We're like-minded. We need to get you on as a regular guest here to give us that world and global perspective. Here on the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Remind us again, your website, Nick. It's Nicholas, NickVardy.com or Nicholas?
It's NicholasVardy.com.
Okay, and Vardy is V-A-R-D-Y. Nick, it's been great having you. V-A-R-D-Y. It's been great having you, and you're definitely coming back, I hope.
All right. Terrific.
All right, you take care over there. Thank you very much. Well, what a great interview. Boy, to get a global perspective, you know, we sit here in the United States of America, you know, wherever we're at, Minneapolis or Atlanta or Seattle or Honolulu or whatever, and don't realize these places like Dubai and Estonia and London and what's going on over there. And I've been watching these breakouts in some of these markets that have been thrashed in Italy, in Spain, and in Greece. And I'm watching some of these frontier markets, like Nick mentioned, and this Frontier 100 ETF, which is the symbol is FM. And there's a lot of interesting stuff going on around the world. Let's not forget, there's a lot more than just U.S. small cap value stocks out there. And I think in coming weeks, I've been a global investor in the past, and I think you're going to start seeing a little bit more foreign stuff coming into my portfolios here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.